So we have just a little time left. I have to do my best to keep at least everyone who's on screen awake. I can't speak for those whose videos are off, but my goal is to do a little bit of dancing. It's hard to dance on Zoom, but I'm going to do my best to try to bring you into what I think is an absolutely fascinating topic. Many years ago, as the rabbi of the Young Israel of Holliswood, so I tried to allow Shavuos to be a time when we could cover a whole topic. There's so many hours to learn over Shavuos. Usually it's spent a shir on this, a shir on that. So I tried over a number of years to find a single topic that we could really sink ourselves into, so that by the end of Yom Tov, we'd feel that we have something. We're taking something away instead of just logging hours, which is beautiful, logging hours of Torah. So one of the first things I did was a look at the great Rabbi Akiva. And many of you tuned in over the past number of weeks for some of the lectures that I've been giving about Rabbi Akiva. You don't need to have heard them to understand what we're going to do tonight. But tonight we're going to continue to look at this incredible figure in Jewish history, an incredible figure in Jewish history, to try to understand what his contributions were, why he's so important, specifically at this time of the year. So if it's okay with you, we're going to share screen here. Hold on. Okay. Let's take a look at what we've got. Rabbi Akiva and Moshe Rabbeinu. Many of you know from the title itself, the fascinating Gemara that we're going to get to. One of the most bizarre Gemaras in Shas, which has Moshe Rabbeinu coming up to Shamayim and finding himself at the back row of Rabbi Akiva's shir. But let's take one step back. The shir tonight is in memory, as all of the learning we've done tonight, in memory of Yehuda Frankel, Zichrono Livracha, Moshe Yehuda ben Meir Eliyahu. The third part of this series was also in memory of Yehuda, someone who very, very much reflected the values that we talked about that night. We learned many things about Rabbi Akiva by studying the different stories of Rabbi Akiva, one of which is the sincerity about which he went doing every little action and maintaining his Jewish life, maintaining his belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu till the very last moment, which is something, of course, that we saw in Yehuda through his many, many struggles. Ma haya tchiloso shel Rabbi Akiva? What was the beginning of Rabbi Akiva? Amru ben arbaim shana haya v'lo shana klum. He was 40 years old. He hadn't learned a thing. Doesn't say he didn't learn any Tanakh. Shana usually would refer to Mishnah Torah Shebal Peh. Certainly not someone who was at the head of the yeshiva. Pam achas, we know, haya omed al piya be'er. He's standing next to a well. Amar mi chakak evin zu. Who carved out this area? Amar lo hamayim shetadir noflim alei b'choyom. The water that falls on it every day. Miyad haya Rabbi Akiva dan kal v'chomer ba'atzmo. He said, ma rach posal et hakasheh. Something that is water. Water is not a very strong substance. It's a very malleable substance, and it can wear away at the rock. Divrei Torah shekashin kebarzel alachas kama v'chama shechakaku es libi shubasar v'dam. Divrei Torah can certainly wear away at my heart. In the first of the shiurim that we gave, we looked at the role of Rabbi Akiva's wife, Rachel. We tried to figure out exactly when did he meet her and what was her role here. I suggested that it was sort of a combination, that simply seeing water wearing away at a rock is not going to get somebody to become a Baal Tshuva. There seemed to be a combination of factors, and the one moment that Rabbi Akiva, he sees something, it all comes together in his head. What does he do? Miyad chazal ulmod Torah. He went to learn Torah. Halachu uvno v'yashu etzol malamde tinokos. They went to a malamed tinokos. They went to a first grade Rebbe. Rabbi Akiva went to a first grade Rebbe. Amarle Rebbe Limad Lamdeni Torah, teach me Torah. Achaz Rabbi Akiva Barosh Haluach Uvno Barosh Haluach. They held up whatever sort of blackboard it was that they were using. Kosav lo Aleph Bet Velamda. He started with the letters of the Hebrew language, which would give an indication he hadn't even learned any Tanakh. He was seen to be living around Yerushalayim. He was the shepherd of some of them. For another time. Aleph Tav Velamda. He learned the first letter, the last letter. He literally went through Toras Kohanim. He learned the Midrashei Halacha, obviously after he learned the text itself. Hayalomed v'holechad shalomad kol ha-Torah kul. The Mishnah, or the Brisa really, of Avos to Reb Nosson describes the incredible progress of Rabbi Akiva, starting with literally nothing and moving until you get to kol ha-Torah kula. How far did he get? The Talmud Yerushalmi tells us, Amar Rabbi Yona ksiv lachen achalek lo barabim ve'et atzumim yechalek shalal. This is Rabbi Akiva, shehitkin midrash ha-halachot ve'hagadot. Rabbi Akiva becomes, it's really hard to understand this, Rabbi Akiva comes from learning Aleph Bet at the age of 40, not simply to becoming a great scholar who has 12,000 students. That's what we usually associate with Rabbi Akiva, the number of students that he had. The last day of his life, that Rabbi Akiva was the one who was mesakein medrash ha-halachos v'agados. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Stam Masnisin, if you have a Mishnah, it doesn't say who it is, assume it's Rabbi Meir. Stam Tosefta, Tosefta doesn't rank as high as the Mishnah, but it's from the Tannaitic age. If you have a Tosefta, you don't know who it is, Reb Nechemia. Stam Sifra, that's the Medrash Halacha on Vayikra. Rabbi Yehuda, Stam Sifri, Rabbi Shimon. Vekulu Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva establishes all of Torah Sheba'al Peh. It's hard to fathom that. Rabbi Akiva is not just a great man who died a famous death and he had so many Talmidim and he was involved in the Bar Kokhba War. Rabbi Akiva literally becomes the basis for Torah Sheba'al Peh from nothing. Every time I read this, what am I doing all day? He started when he was 40. Okay, he lived till about 120. So he had a nice long life. But he became the basis for Torah Sheba'al Peh. And in fact, the Medrash Tanchuma goes to say the following. And we'll have to figure out exactly what they mean. Dvarim shelo niglu l'Moshe, niglu l'Rabbi Akiva v'chavirav. Even things that were not revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai were revealed to Rabbi Akiva and his chevra. It seems that in a certain way, we have to be careful how we say this, we're going to try to understand as best as we can, Rabbi Akiva goes from being an absolute Amma Aretz who can't read an Aleph Beis at the age of 40, to somehow even going beyond Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, don't stop here, because I know that it's a fundamental idea within Judaism that Moshe Rabbeinu knew everything, that Moshe Rabbeinu got everything. So hold tight. Don't fall asleep yet. You can fall asleep in a few minutes. Don't fall asleep just yet until I try to explain a little bit. But Rabbi Akiva goes from an Amma Aretz to understanding certain things that Moshe Rabbeinu himself couldn't understand, which leads us to the Gemara, which is really the source of the class tonight. An absolutely wild Gemara that we could talk about. We could make the whole night just about this Gemara. I could have made the whole Shavuos just about this Gemara. But let's just focus on this one idea. Who knew more? Moshe or Rabbi Akiva? Amar Rav. B'sha'a sha'ala Moshe l'marom. when Moshe Rabbeinu went up on high. I have the English here for those of you who want to follow it there. When he went up to receive the Torah. Mitzo l'Kadosh Baruch Hu sheyoshev v'kosher kisarim la'osios. It's unbelievable. Moshe Rabbeinu gets up to get the Torah, and God's not done yet, which is really difficult to understand. God is not done. Moshe Rabbeinu walks in, and he sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still finishing the Torah, so to speak. He's finishing the writing, the presentation of the Torah, and he's making kitarim la'osios. He's making crowns for the letters. We know that in a Sefer Torah, the letters have various little sticks, little things that come up from the letters. Those were there from the very beginning in some form. We know that the original script wasn't our script. So what exactly did the Kesarim look like? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a little late, which is so strange. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a little late. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu, hold up. Not done yet. Give me a couple more minutes, and then we got to let the ink dry. You know what happens at a Hachnasa Sefer Torah. You got to bring out a hair dryer and blow the letters a little bit, and we're almost ready. Amar l'fan Ribono Shel Olam, mi me'akev al yadecha? Who, you look stressed out, my Lord. You look like you have to finish this. What do you need those little things at the top of the letters? Every letter is done. Every single letter of the Torah is finished. We're done. Don't worry about it. Don't stress about it. Why are you doing this? Amar lo, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Adam echad yesh, she'asid lihiyot besof kama doros. There's someone coming many generations from now. The Akiva ben Yosef Shema. His name is Akiva ben Yosef. She'asid lidrosh, I'll call coats for coats. Tilin, tilin, shel halachos. There's a man coming. And he is going to figure out how, from every tiny little top of every letter, he's going to learn and teach many, many halachos. Now, as far as I know, there aren't any such halachos in the Talmud Bavli. There is a medrash called the Medrash Osios Akiva ben Yosef. There is some sort of a medrash that gets into a little bit, but we're not exactly sure what this is. But somehow Rabbi Akiva was prepared, was able to derive halachos, not just from the letters, but from the little crowns at the top. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I got to get them all ready so that Rabbi Akiva will one day be able to darshan all of these various crowns. It's very strange. Kadosh Baruch Hu's not ready. And notice, interestingly, the word that's used here is v'kosher. He's tying crowns to the letters. He's not actually writing the crowns. He's actually somehow, it's almost as if the letter is done and Kadosh Baruch Hu is attaching a crown to the letter. And for some reason, this is happening in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not, it wasn't prepared that way before. Amar l'fanav, Moshe Rabbeinu says, this is unbelievable. There's going to come a man who can derive halachos from the crowns on the top of the letters? Harehu li, show him to me. Amar lo chazor la'acharecha. Very strange language. He said, turn around, go backwards. Halach v'yashav b'sof shmona shuros. And Moshe Rabbeinu suddenly finds himself in the back row of Rabbi Akiva's classroom. And he's in Rabbi Akiva's Beis Medrash. And he's in the back of the eight rows, and we know from many sources that the people sat based on their ability. Those who had more to say, those who were more senior members of the Beis Medrash were sitting in the front. Can you imagine a scene? Moshe Rabbeinu comes in, and he sits in the back row. V'lohaya yodea mahin omrim. And he couldn't understand a word of the shir. He couldn't follow the shir. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't follow the shir. What kind of level could this shir have been at that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't follow the shir? Tashash Koko. Koko. Moshe Rabbeinu is depressed. Kevin Shigil Adover Echad. He's depressed. We don't know exactly why he's depressed, but he's depressed. Pashto says it's ridiculous. I'm Moshe Rabbeinu. I can't even understand the beginning of this shiur. We've all had that. We stepped into a shiur that was a little bit above our level. So, you know, it's difficult. Kevin Shigil Adover Echad Amrlo Talmidav. At one point, he came to a particular point, and the students challenged Rabbi Akiva, and the Moshe was silent. Rabbi Minayin Lach, how do you know this? Where did you get this from? Amr Lahen, Halacha L'Moshe Misina. He says, don't worry, this is a Halacha L'Moshe Misina. This goes all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Nisyash V'daita. And Moshe Rabbeinu felt better. It's an ego thing. Moshe Rabbeinu, did he raise his hand? I'd love to have been there at that moment. I really love to have seen it. It's Halacha L'Moshe Misina. Me, this me. Here, you didn't raise my, I was raising my hand the whole time. What a bizarre Gemara. There are a lot of bizarre Gemaras in Shas, but there are only so many bizarre Gemaras that seem to touch on fundamentals of our faith. Fundamental ideas in terms of what we believe, in terms of the giving of the Torah, in terms of the transmission of the Torah, in terms of what the rabbi's role is, what they could do. There are lots of strange Gemaras with miracles and there are parables, but this seems to be talking about fundamental ideas of our faith. Chazar Ubal of Ne'akadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu comes back before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Lefan Ribono Shel Olam. Yesh Lecha Adam Kazev Atano Sein Torah Al Yadi. Why are you giving the Torah through me? I'm not in his level at all. I'm not in his zip code. Why wouldn't you give the Torah from this guy? Listen, I can't even understand his shiur. I'm in the back row. Amar Lo Shtok. Quiet, Moshe. Kach ala b'machshava lefanei. That's the way I wanted this to be done. Strange. Amar lefanei, Ribono Shalom, harisani tairaso, hareini sicharo. You gave me the beautiful view of his Torah. Now what about his schar? Amar lo chazor l'acharecha. He says, turn back, go back into his world. It's an unbelievable Gemara. I'd love to stage this. Chazal Achorov, he turns around, Ra'osh Shoklin Basaro B'makulin, and they see him on his deathbed. Amar Lefanav Ribono Shel Olam Zu Torah B'Zu Schara. This is what it's all about. Amar Le Shtok, Kachala B'machshav Lefanai. This is my will. There are things, Moshe Rabbeinu, that even you can't understand. There's a limit to how far you can get. Now, the issue of suffering and the righteous, we discussed a little bit in the last year. And again, it's a totally different topic, but I couldn't do the beginning of the Gemara without the end. Let's focus for the time that we have together on this experience, on what it tells us about Moshe and what it tells us about Rabbi Akiva. See some faces again. The story is filled with perplexing moments. What is Moshe Rabbeinu doing up there? Well, he went to get the Torah. Why introduce him to Rabbi Akiva in that way? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu late? Why is he tying the ties? What is it that Rabbi Akiva got from these crowns? How did he derive halachos from the crowns? What does that mean? What does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand the shiur of Rabbi Akiva? And if, in fact, Rabbi Akiva was so much greater than Moshe, then why didn't the Torah get given through Rabbi Akiva? Don't tell me time. The Torah is eternal. God is eternal. Moshe Rabbeinu was asking a question. Why me? What do I have over Rabbi Akiva? A lot of theological questions. There are some who use this Gemara, I must say, in a very dangerous way. There are some who look simply at the perplexing, at the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is perplexed, and they conclude that later rabbis can say things that were never said before? It must be. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu recognize and know what was going on in the shir? Because there was an old Torah, and then eventually the rabbis produce a new Torah. It's not uncommon that the older rabbis are not going to understand what the newer rabbis are creating. Obviously, we don't hold of that. But we're going to have to do something with this Gemara. We're going to have to do something with the source that we saw before that indicated that Rabbi Akiva and his Chaverim understood things that even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand. And we're going to have to do something, story that Moshe Rabbeinu tried sitting in the shir and he couldn't understand. What's going on? Chazal clearly were not comfortable suggesting that this story tells the real story. Oops, wrong Rabbi Akiva shir. Hold on. That this story tells the real story of Rabbi Akiva and Moshe. The Gemara says in Megillah, to make our questions even sharper, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mai dechsiv v'aleim kecho advar masher dibur Hashem imachem bahar. What does it mean? All the things that God told you on the mountain, Malamed, Shehero, HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, Diktuke Torah, V'diktuke Sofrim, U'ma shehasofrim asidin lechadesh. The Gemara in Megillah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu knew everything. The Torah was basically given at Sinai. There were no chidushim afterwards. They may have thought it was a chidush, but Moshe Rabbeinu knew everything that was going to come forward. The reason why the rabbis say this is because it establishes that the Torah was given once, and the rabbis cannot make major additions or changes to that Torah. Anything that's coming, it came from that original kernel. Similarly, the Medrash Rabbah in Koheles, Mikra, Mishnah, Halacha, Talmud, Tosafot, Tosefta, Ve'agadot, Vafilu Masha Talmud Vasik Asid Loma Lifnei Rabbo. Moshe Rabbeinu knew every comment that was ever going to be said. When did he get all this information? I don't know. Kulon Nitnu Halacha L'Moshe Misim. Everything was already taught to Moshe Rabbeinu at the beginning of time. How do we put this together? How do we put together certain sources that indicate that Rabbi Akiva knew things that Moshe Rabbeinu did not know? What does that mean for future rabbis and future generations that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't hold cup in Rabbi Akiva's shir? What does it mean that Rabbi Akiva and his friends not only established Torah Sheba'al Peh, but actually saw things that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't see, and then multiple sources that seem to say the opposite? Is there a way to put this together? Was there some underlying machlokas at the time of the Tanaim and the Amoraim about who was greater? Was Moshe greater or was Rabbi Akiva greater? It's very important to understand, because the way Torah Sheba'al Peh develops and the personalities of these two great men who more than anyone are responsible from a human perspective for the Torah that we have today. How do we understand how the two of them relate? Let's look at a few answers. Rashi in Menachos, dealing with that Gemara, that problematic Gemara, has a fascinating, sharp answer to why Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't follow this year. I thought Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Navi ever. I thought Moshe Rabbeinu knew every single thing that anyone would ever say. So how could it be that he didn't understand the shir? Nisyashvadaito. Remember, what happens at the end of the shir? He says, no, it's a halach l'Moshe Misinai. It came from Moshe. If it came from Moshe, why didn't Moshe know it? If the whole subject of the shir was something that came from Moshe Rabbeinu, then how come he couldn't follow the shir? Rashi says something brilliant. Nisyashvadaito shel Moshe. Hoelu mishmo omer. He felt better because it came from him. Af al pi shadayin lo kibla. Moshe Rabbeinu would eventually learn it, and it would get passed down, and it would make it to Rabbi Akiva, but this was the first day Moshe was in Shemayim. That's a brilliant answer. We're dealing with two sets of time systems. How quickly can you go from one compact to the future and the past? What Moshe Rabbeinu heard in the Shir, why didn't he understand the Shir? Because he hadn't been taught it yet. Moshe Rabbeinu would be up at Har Sinai for 40 days. By the end of the 40 days, he would know everything. But this was day one. What Rabbi Akiva was talking about was a unit that Moshe hadn't gotten to yet. So of course he doesn't know it. He was very pleased to find out that at the end of the 40 days, he would know it, and then he would pass it down to the end. That deals with the Gemara in Menachos. It doesn't necessarily deal with this strange comment in the Medrash Tanchuma. To be honest, we're more worried about the Gemara in Menachos than the Medrash Tanchuma. But the Medrash Tanchuma says, Dvarim shelo niglu l'Moshe, things that were not at all taught to Moshe, niglu l'Rabbi Akiva v'chaveiv. But not quite as concerned about the Medrash Tanchuma as we are a Gemara in Menachos. And Rashi is able to get us out of the problem with this kavaldik chap, that Moshe Rabbeinu hadn't learned it yet, but he was going to learn it. It was a tough time for Moshe. Moshe eventually would learn everything. The Medrash Rabbah, the next source, Vayitein el Moshe, Amar Rabbi Abahu, Ko Mem Yom, She'asa Moshe Lamaila, Hayalomed Torah Veshocheach. Boy, does that make me feel better. All 40 days, Moshe Rabbeinu got up early in the morning. He didn't sleep. He didn't eat. He went to Shir, and he came out of Shir, and he couldn't remember it all. Ugh, makes us all feel so much better. So much better. For those of you from Holliswood who are listening to this Shir, which I gave probably 15 years ago, and you don't remember it, okay, you're just like Moshe Rabbeinu. It's geschmack. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't even remember the Shir from 15 years ago, but I had notes. But and we developed it since, so you'll get some stuff you hadn't heard 15 years ago. But there you go. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu. So what did he end up with? Ola Ribona Olam, Yeshli Mem Yom, I have 40 days, any of their Dover. He says, I finished Smicha. I don't know anything. I just finished the whole 40-day crash course, night and day. I finished the whole semester. I finished my whole Smicha. I don't know anything. I don't remember anything. Ma'as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mishihishla Mem Yom, at the end of the 40 days, Nasan Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asatora Matana. He gave it all to Moshe as a matana. Took a chip, and he put it into Moshe Rabbeinu's head and Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama. He says, I know that according to natural means, according to the Derech HaTeva, you can't hold that much information. There's no way. But I have everything here on a drive. I have the Otzar HaSvarim, and I have the Bar Ilan, and I have everything that everybody's ever going to say, and all you got to do is just plug it in. There's a matana. That's how he remembered. But what's amazing is what the Medrash does next, which provides us with another understanding of what Moshe knew and what Rabbi Akiva knew. The Gemara, because the Medrash then asks, V'chi kol ha-Torah lomad Moshe? Moshe Rabbeinu learned everything in 40 days, so he didn't sleep and he didn't eat. He didn't do any normal human things. But in 40 days, Moshe Rabbeinu learned everything? Just look around a library, right? Look around the library. He learned everything in 40 days? He went through every sefer that would ever be written? Ksiv batorah arucha me'aretz mida urechava mine yam. The Torah is vast. What does that mean? Even if he got it as a present, the Gemara, the Medrash seems to say that he learned the whole thing and then he forgot it. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, here's all the stuff you learned. There were notes. You didn't know there were notes. You could take my notes. But the Medrash says, I don't understand. How could he have even gone through it one time? Forget about whether he remembers or he doesn't remember. How can Moshe Rabbeinu have gone through everything? Moshe Rabbeinu learned the whole Torah in 40 days? Forget about where he remembered it. Ela klolim lamdehu HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'moshe. The Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't actually teach the entire Torah to Moshe. And when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu knew every comment that would be said by a student later, it doesn't mean he actually heard every one of those comments. When Moshe Rabbeinu heard, quote unquote, every single article in every single sefer that's in the library here, it doesn't mean he went through it page by page. It meant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe the rules from which would emerge everything else. He gave him the kelalim. He gave him the rules. He gave him the basis of this structure. The structure would continue to grow and grow. And as long as people were honest with the system, and as long as they were faithful, is a better word than honest, they were faithful to the halachic system, they would be able to take these rules that Moshe Rabbeinu said and grow and grow and grow and grow. And that's what it means when at the end of the shiur that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand, Rabbi Akiva says, someone says, where's the source? And he says, it's a halacha l'moshe misinai. How much of a shiur can you give on a halacha l'moshe misinai? There's not much to say. This is the halacha. It came from Moshe Rabbeinu. What were they doing in the shiur the whole time? The answer, according to many, is that Rabbi Akiva was giving an advanced shiur where they had taken the chomer, they had taken the rules, they had taken the basis that Moshe Rabbeinu had given them and expanded it and expanded it and expanded it. Rav Schechter compares this to bringing Euclid, bad name from geometry days, bringing Euclid to a suspension bridge, saying, here, Euclid, this is what you brought about. Euclid couldn't imagine a suspension. The suspension bridge is built on the fundamentals that Euclid gave us. He gave us a couple of principles. One thing led to another, and you have a suspension bridge that's going across the Hudson River. You have the Tappan Zee Bridge. But Euclid would say, what does this have to do with anything that I created? It would take centuries to take that basis and to build it out in that way. But at the end of the day, Rabbi Akiva, you've built this brilliant idea and where does it all start from? Where does this come from? Halacha l'moshe misinai. Moshe Rabbeinu was distressed not because he had a big ego. In fact, the first thing Moshe Rabbeinu says is, so give it for Rabbi Akiva. Moshe Rabbeinu was distressed because he wondered if the Torah that he was given, the Torah that he passed along to the Jewish people, would one day be warped. I don't understand. I have no idea what this is. Rabbi Akiva's answer assured him that the entire thing was based in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave. It's not heretical, according to this approach, to say that Rabbi Akiva didn't hear this shiur, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't hear this shiur about Moshe Rabbeinu that would be given by a nobody in 2020. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't sit through every single shiur. You know how many shiurim on YU Torah? There's 200,000 shiurim on YU Torah. A person couldn't live long enough to listen from the beginning to the end of what's on YU Torah, and it's still filling every single day. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't listen to the actual shiur. But Moshe Rabbeinu provided that basis. That was where it came from. The language that Rabbi Akiva was using was already a totally different language, and Moshe Rabbeinu was distressed. Maybe they took the Torah and took it in a different direction. But the answer was no, it's the same Torah. The same Torah. But I'd like to give a third explanation, which is based on an idea of Rav Kook, but I'll admit that I'm taking the idea in a slightly different direction than the direction that Rav Kook takes. And this idea, I believe, explains not simply the depression of Moshe Rabbeinu and the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand, but the tying of the crowns to the letters in the first place. Rashi tells us at the beginning of Vayikra, right? Vayikra al Moshe. This doesn't actually look correct, because what should this look like? We all know. What should this look like? It should look like a tiny little aleph. At the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, there's a tiny little aleph. Why is there a tiny little aleph? Rashi explains to us that Vayikra is a call, but there's two ways to spell it in the Torah. You could spell it with an aleph, which is a lashon of kavod, or you could spell it without the aleph, Vayikar, like a lashon of keri, of chance, of tumah. Moshe Rabbeinu was called with an aleph. Aval neviyei umos ha'olam nigla lehem b'lashon arai v'tuma. But to the umos ha'olam, the neviyei umos ha'olam, we used a language which was a call from God, but actually implies that they weren't so special. Shenemar v'yikar elokim el bila. So if Moshe Rabbeinu is such a chavadik navi, if he was the greatest navi who ever lived, so why isn't the aleph a big aleph? Why make it small? Famous idea of the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim says there was a fight between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe didn't want to appear to be so special. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the aleph at the end. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm not so special. I don't need the aleph. It's okay. So they made a compromise. The Kosva Katana, and they wrote it as a small aleph. Moshe Rabbeinu made a compromise with the Ribono Shel Olam. Rav Kook suggests a beautiful understanding of this compromise. There's a fascinating Medrash Rabbah in Dvarim that says, we'll just read the bolded part right now. There's a mystical idea that HaTorah Shenosna LaMoshe Ora Shel Eish Levana Uketuvah BeEish Shechora. We usually assume that you have parchment and you have ink on the parchment. Which one is superimposed on the other? The black ink is put onto the white paper. The white paper is just really something to hold the ink. But we know that the white paper is not just something to hold the ink. There's an interesting halacha that every single letter in the Torah needs to be surrounded completely by parchment. It sounds like the parchment is not just a place for the letter to land. There needs to be a little extra parchment at the edge. And the Medrash tells us that there's actually two levels of Torah. The Torah was written with two sets of ink. It's not that there was a piece of paper on the bottom and then black was imposed upon it. There was nothing underneath it. And God started writing in two different inks. An ink that was white, and an ink that was black. We know what the black ink is. The black ink are the words of the Torah. What's the white ink? If you think about it, the white ink links every single letter of the Torah together. The white ink, because it has to surround every single letter in the Torah from the beginning to the end, goes well beyond the actual text of the Torah. And it expresses something which is beyond just the letter, literally and figuratively, the letter of the law. The white ink represents how these ideas come together. The white ink represents the principles of the Torah. The white ink represents where those letters go, how they develop into Torah Sheba'al Peh, how they play out in the real world. It starts with the black ink, but then it goes quickly into a system that connects one halacha with another halacha. It's one thing to be able to read the black ink. It's an even more amazing level to be able to understand the white ink, the white fire in which the Torah was written. The godless is not to read the black. The godless is to read the white, to be able to understand literally and figuratively between the lines and what the Torah system is about and how to apply it in every single situation. Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't want your kavod. I want it to say Vayikar. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want it to be Vayikra with an aleph. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do to Moshe? He says, we're going to write this in a small aleph, because you know what a small aleph does? It not only gets in the word Vayikra, but it emphasizes the white fire. By shrinking the black letter, it emphasizes the white fire. You know what your godless was, Moshe Rabbeinu? Your godless was in the white fire. The your godless as a Navi was the fact that there could just be a tiny Aleph and you still could understand the entire principle. So Moshe Rabbeinu was done in by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu got him by putting in a small Aleph. What about Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva derived his halachos not from the white ink, but from the extension of the black ink that went a little bit up above the letter. Moshe Rabbeinu understood everything. He understood it because he was given it by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He intuited what was between the lines. He intuited how those letters played into a full halachic system. Every single halacha, according to this interpretation, was understood by Moshe Rabbeinu. It was understood intuitively. It was understood because of the white ink. But that was Moshe Rabbeinu's godless. What did Rabbi Akiva do? Rabbi Akiva derived all of those same halachot from the letters themselves, from the black ink. Rabbi Akiva's contribution to the Torah Sheba'al Peh was not to bring out new halachas that Moshe Rabbeinu had never heard of, but to show how those halachos came from the text, how those halachos could be derived from every single letter, and even from a little black that went up further. Rabbi Akiva was deriving all of the white from the black. That's why he needed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was found tying on those crowns. Why was he tying on the crowns? To tell Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not missing anything. When you came up here, the Torah was done. But I'm tying on crowns because someone will come at a later time, at a time when people aren't able to simply understand how Judaism comes together. And they're going to need to derive it from the text. They're going to need to create an entire halachic system that works with the black ink, with the black fire. And from that derives everything else. Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting in the back of the shir, and he can't understand, Rabbi Akiva, what are you talking about? These diyukim, these understandings, these little kinds of things. What are you talking about? What is that? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't speak that language. At the end of the shir, the psak, the idea, the value that Rabbi Akiva came to was exactly the same thing. It's just that Rabbi Akiva came to it through the black ink and Moshe Rabbeinu came to it through the white ink. Moshe's letters were smaller to reveal the white. Rabbi Akiva's letters were larger. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was just tying them on. You didn't really need them. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need those ties. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing it when Moshe Rabbeinu got up to the top. But he wanted to show him that someone would once come. Someone would come at some point and be able to derive all of those halachos from the diyukim. I'll end with the following. It's possible that Rabbi Akiva didn't fully achieve his potential. We don't have the diyukim that Rabbi Akiva said from the little bit of letters. And the full expression of the Torah of Rabbi Akiva, which came to the same conclusions as Moshe Rabbeinu, but the full expression of the Torah of Rabbi Akiva, we still don't have. We still don't understand. We still don't know every single diyuk of where everything comes from. There are still things that we just know Moshe Rabbeinu got. We know Moshe Rabbeinu understood. When was Rabbi Akiva supposed to reveal that? Or when was it supposed to be revealed to Rabbi Akiva? Rabbosai, it's not a coincidence that Moshe Rabbeinu got his Torah after 49 days of counting. And what do we know about what was the most necessary ingredient at the end of those 49 days to be able to accept the Torah? That they were ki'ish echad b'lev echad. Rabbi Akiva's students couldn't get there. There perhaps was supposed to be 1 year on a Shavuos. There was supposed to be, Rabbi Akiva was supposed to be given the ability to fully reveal how everything comes from those letters. But his students couldn't be Ki Ishecha Belevecha. So it was never fully revealed. Why do Rabbi Akiva's students die at this time? Why do we mark Rabbi Akiva's ultimate failure, as much of a great individual as he was, but we know that he didn't achieve what he wanted? Why do we mark that during this period of Sfiras HaOmer? Why did his students die during Sfiras HaOmer? Because as great as Rabbi Akiva was, it was a tragedy of a Shavuos that didn't happen. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu's white fire and black fire came on a Shavuos when the people were able to come together, we weren't Zocha. Why should it be, Rabosai, that because Rabbi Akiva's students died, we're mourning in 2020? There are a lot of Jews that died. We're not just mourning for Rabbi Akiva's students, we're mourning for the things we still don't understand about Torah. Had Rabbi Akiva brought his students together, had his students come together, had they had Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, then it would have been a crowning Shavuos one of those years, when we would have fully understood how all the white comes from the black. We mourn today not simply the fact that Rabbi Akiva's students died, but as pieces of Torah that we still don't understand. These two great men, Rabbi Akiva and Moshe Rabbeinu, represent that interaction between the black fire, the white fire. We need both. We need to understand the letter of the law. We also need to understand how that develops into a beautiful blossoming system for life of values in Torah Shebaal Peh. Rabbi Akiva brought us very, very close to revealing that. There are still secrets of the crowns that Emirtz Hashem will understand on one great Shavuos. Emirtz Hashem b'Mos HaMashiach. I wish everyone a wonderful Yom Tov, Chag Sameach, and thank you again for listening at this absurd hour, considering it's not actually Shavuos. Have a good Yom Tov.